Well, that was a blessed car, so whoever got it.
Yeah.
Would have a blessing.
Yeah, right. Well, they have some drugs and stuff like that. They do they go for joy rides, so on. 19-year-old person, and you know, he met my wife last night, so she knows what he looks like. I mean, the night before, Saturday night, and so you know, if they ever have a lineup, we can go and testify, so on and so forth. So stole stuff and all that kind of stuff. Isn't that exciting? How many know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord? And what you do with people that do wrong things, bad things, and there are several, not in this church, but I mean in other churches. In this church, you pray for them. You bless them. You love them. You forgive them. You do good for them. You never curse them. That's the New Testament. So in the New Testament, you don't stone them. You don't do anything. You just pray for them. And if you see them, you forgive them. And if you don't see him, pray for him anyway. So anyway, bad things happen to us, and it happened to everybody. It isn't just some people. It's everybody. Everybody has it. The sun rises on the, you know, good people, bad people. Doesn't matter. But you do that because you know that God is retraining us for heaven. And so I have chair 7 up there. It's the only one I want. That's your goal, to be in chair 7. It's in the book of Revelation, chapter 18 and 19. It says something like this. Happy is the woman, happy is the woman, the bride, who hath made herself ready for her wedding day. And if you have that, you put all your trust in God. You don't trust in things. You don't trust even in people. You don't trust in yourself. You trust in the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, everything that you have. And when you do that, you don't get upset like other people. So after I said, I want to kill him, after I said that, then immediately I remembered that I was a pastor and a Christian, and it occurred to me that I probably did it wrong. How many know God is a forgiving God? He's a forgiving God.
Yes.
And he's not judging your behavior. So he's not going to judge that behavior either. He can see it's wrong. He hates sin, but he loves sinners.
Hallelujah.
He hates sin, but he loves sinners. Yeah. And you can't change, you cannot make him change his mind on that. You can't say, God, this one's really, really bad. You can't do that. He's demonic and so on. That's nonsense. God doesn't look at it that way because he wrote his signature when you were conceived in the womb. When he wrote his signature, he said, this one belongs to me. I'm putting my name on it. This one's mine. And no emperor, no pope, no person whatsoever can come between the two of us. So you and God have no links between you. None. There's just God and you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you. That's it. And so all three who always agree, they're always for you, and who can be against you?
Amen.
Yeah. Right? Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
Who can be against you? So God knows your name. He knows exactly your address. He knows everything about you before the foundation of the world. You can read that in Titus chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. That he did this, he planned everything in the world before there even was a world. It's not from the base of the world. It's before the base of the world. Before there even was an earth, he already knew everything about Jackie and about, you know, Clay and so on. He knows everything about everybody. And he says, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and create these people, and someday some of them will serve me, worship me, but others won't. And he already knows that. So it's not like a surprise in eternity. Let me think. This one, you did this or did that or thought this or thought that or believed this or believed that. You're not going to do that. Because he knows the secrets of everybody's heart even before you were created. He knows everything you're going to ever think and say and do. So he's not surprised. So when you see the world falling apart, which some people say, it's not really falling apart. It's actually improving. I'll say that again because you probably didn't understand that. It's actually improving. Did you understand that?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's actually improving. Civilization will actually be handed up to God after Jesus cleanses us at his second coming. We haven't only seen the one coming. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So that's worth just rejoicing for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
After your life and the next life, you're going to have a new heaven and a new earth.
Thank you.
So it's actually improving. The kingdoms of this world don't go nowhere. They go to heaven because they've been purified by Jesus Christ when he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And no one has ever seen Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No one. No one has ever seen that. So the best has been saved to the last. The best wine has not yet been served. So the world civilization, you can never be depressed over it, even though people are. Why did he do that? And why did that happen? And why did he have this war? And da, 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 da. That's just typical. And all of us used to be part of that world. I'm going to say, because you maybe didn't understand the word all, like excluding no one except pastors. You're the only one that caught that. You're the only one that caught that. And so, no, pastors are the same. The same as you. Exactly the same. And Jesus was born a man, son of man. He was son of God. He retained the son of godness, but he was on the earth as son of man so he could be preeminent in heaven and on earth in all things. So God lifts up the Son, his only Son, his only begotten Son. He lifts him up and he says, Jesus, we're going to send you down and you'll be among relatives, so not a problem except they'll kill you. That's the only thing. Relatives tend to kill their own. Because I know you and I know everything about you. So I want to pay back. Everyone wants to be God. Now, there's nowhere in the Bible that says you'll be God. Did you know that? There's not a verse in the Bible that says, someday you'll be God. You'll just be always a man, always a woman, always part of the bride, always part of the sons of God, you know, whatever. God mixes up metaphors. If you ever notice that in the Bible? He'll mix up a metaphor and he'll say something about, you know, pouring new wine into old wineskins. And he's not, those are just metaphors. So the wine is okay, but a wineskin, you know, what is that? And so, but he's always speaking about real things in this world, but things that you can't see. You've never seen God. Nobody's ever seen God. Nobody ever seen God. Nor have you seen the Son, but he was seen for a while, but he was seen as Son of Man. And then he disappeared after that. We haven't seen him since. But you can see him now spiritually. If you're born of the Spirit, you can actually hear God, see God, just by reading his word. But you do it spiritually, and there's, you don't really see it. You see the words, but you don't see what's behind the word, because Jesus is the word of God. He is the word of God. Now, there's only two ways you can go in this world. One is by law. The other is by the gospel. Now, gospel means good news. So you choose which one you want. Would you like to be under a law, submitted to the law, or would you like to be under the free gospel that's just handed to you because Jesus did it for you, and then he's doing it in you, and then he does it through you, and so on. He does it all, so you don't have to do anything. So you get a choice. How many choose to be under a law, so you always have to be good? And nobody wants to do it. You know why? Jesus already did it. He already lived your life before the foundation of the world. He already lived your life long before there was a world, because he knew about Jackie. He knows you by name. And since he knows you by name, you're personal. It's a person to person. God is a person. And though he doesn't have eyes and noses like we do and so on, it speaks as though he did. So it's written for you so that you realize, hey, he's just like me. And so all the differences that we make up are totally made up. There are no differences. We're all the same. All the same. Yeah. All the same. Yeah. It's just part of the family. Just part of the family. Adam and Eve, they messed it up in the beginning. Eve was the first. I thought I'd mention that. And so they mess it up. So you have to be very tender with a woman. You have to be tender because she might have some guilt over that. So you have to remind her, no, don't worry about it. Just do whatever you want to do because you're the wife. And as Christ loved the church, let every man love his wife and so on. That's great. So the women have it easy. So even though she was the first, nobody cared about it. And the husband right away liked her. She said, you know, has this been a whole day? Because the day you eat it, you will surely die. Has this been a whole day? Because you still look good to me. And so the husband, he didn't even have to sin. He just simply did it, took the apple and ate it. He didn't even examine it. He just said, hey, you look good, so I'm going to do it too. And so the man is really the bigger sinner because Adam was the one responsible for the marriage, right? Because he was first and he knew the territory and he knew what's going on. And most men are irresponsible. Have you ever noticed that as a woman? Have you ever noticed that most men are immature? Most men are immature. When you marry them, they're not quite ready for marriage. You know, as women, you know, probably at 14, they want to be a nurse or something or other. But men, they don't. They're kind of plastic. And they don't really grow up until about 50, 60, something like that. You ever know about that? And so that's the funny thing. Because young, I always warn the girls that the man you're going to marry, he loves you and you love him. But he might not be telling the whole truth on that. In other words, he doesn't want to be like Jesus. He doesn't want to be exactly like Jesus, give you all the blessing. All the burden goes on him. Yeah. And so I usually make them say that, but that's just saying. So they say, yes, no matter what you do, I will forgive you. I will always love you. I love it. I love it when men do that because it's a piece of cake for them. They just say it. So, but when you get into a marriage, it's not exactly what you thought, like she'll serve me and I'll be blessed. No, it's the other way around. You take the burden, you give her the blessing. That's hard to do because she has an ego, you have an ego, and those two egos kind of get going. Sometimes it becomes demonic. And sometimes you can't even stop yourself from ruining the whole family thing. Some people just do it openly. Other people hide it. Depends on whether you're addicted to something. And, you know, most men are good hiders of addictions, and so on and so forth. I can't believe you've been doing that all these years, you know. And so, can't you see marriage doesn't work? Can't you not see that marriage doesn't work without God? But with God, all marriages work. And the man has to be the one that grows, not the woman. Leave the woman alone. Just let the man become a man of God. And he says, it's all my fault. Even if it isn't, I'll take responsibility for all of it, just like Jesus. That's powerful. That's why we don't have marriages in here that don't work. We've done that for 50 years. They didn't work because you tell the truth right away. You're a sinner. You're going to marry a sinner. That's two sinners. And how many know their demons could, you know, see each other and attack each other, see who's in control? And, you know, we all have clever sayings about it. But the point is, marriage doesn't work without God. But if you read the Bible every day as a couple, and people that do this have marvelous marriages, because then even if you did something wrong, they'll forgive you for, you know, letting the family down and whatever and so on and so forth. Or you'll forgive them for doing whatever. So you have to be a forgiving God because God's a forgiving God. So as Christ loved the church, you must be like that. So forgiving everybody their sins, don't see the sins. Don't even see them. You can see them, but don't see them when you see them. Just ignore them. Because he's not going to judge anybody on this earth. He's not going to judge anybody according to your behavior. He's not going to judge anybody by what you didn't do or did do. Now, everybody thinks that. I mean, everybody in the world thinks that. And you don't have to even teach it to them. They know you better behave. Yeah. You better shape up. Yeah. But he's never going to judge you by what you did. He's going to judge you by what he did for you.
Amen.
That's good news.
Yeah.
In other words, whatever he did for you, bless you and take the burden from you, you don't die. Because of that, you'll never die. That's a good gift right there.
Yeah.
Besides creating you in the first place, then when he comes down and does what he has to do, he dies for you. So that then he can live in you, so that then he can resurrect through you to others.
Amen.
That's amazing. That's a good God.
Yeah.
The whole problem of the world today, the whole problem, sum up easy, it's a religious problem. People don't understand God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I read a lot of books, And they don't have it clearly that God is always good. Never been angry, never. And God himself is not going to even judge you. Jesus Christ will be your judge. On the last day, he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Remember he said that?
Yeah.
So since he said that, that means Jesus, who is the merciful one, we think the Father is mean and so on. No, the Father is exactly loving. And his love is always the Father's love. His love is always the Father's love. And the Holy Spirit's the same. They're all the same. They have the same spirit. They share it all. Now, you're part of that because he didn't give you stuff. He gave you himself. Now you're going to marry Jesus someday. That's powerful. Yeah. Now, I want to read the Old Testament. This is the worst book you could read in the whole Bible. This is the worst book you could read if you believe that God is good. Huh. This is the worst one. Huh. And this is the second reading called Deuter, means two, and Nomos means the second reading of the law. 40 years earlier, they came out of Egypt. They were slaves of Egypt. Now they're about to be set free, but it's going to take them 40 years to go 11 days journey. Because God always throws obstacles in everybody's path. Could I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay, so when you're about to do something, you actually are ignorant of what you're about to do. But you have all kinds of plans. You know, hey, this is going to work out. You know, everything is kind of going around the way I want it to go. But some obstacle, and God allows these obstacles. In fact, he plans them. You may not know that. He said, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, you can do that. Even the devil had to go to God and say, can I destroy Job? No, you can't. Can I kill his kids? Yeah, you can do that. You say Job is, you know, your best guy and nice and so on and so forth. Yeah, but you got a hedge around him. Remove the hedge. He'll curse you to his face. Okay, he's in your hand. But don't kill him. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. So he had to ask permission. Did you know the devil is a weakling? He has no power except whatever God allowed him to do. But it's just a trust, and he broke the trust and broke the trust and broke the trust because he's a liar from the beginning. Hmm. He's always a deceiver. And once he accuses you, it's because he tempted you first. He tempted you and then he accuses you. Hey, you see what that guy did? He goes to hell with me. You don't think that's funny? That's funny. And so the devil can't do anything except what God allows.
That's right.
And so even the government allows you to do stuff. All kinds of people do all kinds of things. And they can do bad things. And, you know, you can learn a lot by studying the law. So let's read the law. This is the second reading, Deuteronomy chapter 8. And then I'll read a couple verses there and then I'll go on to 9. So verse 8, Deuteronomy 8. All the commandments, this is Moses speaking, all the commandments which I command you this day, this is one way to do it. All the commandments which I command you this day, God deliberately used that word, shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. So here's God speaking through Moses. Moses is the law receiver and the law speaker. So he's the one that gives whatever God says to his people, but he puts it in a form of a command. But it's actually not a command. It's actually a promise. It's a promise. Everything in the Bible is a promise. Okay. The day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. That's a promise. Because it doesn't start out that way. It starts out, you shall. So when it says, you shall, that could be a promise rather than a command. If I say it like this, you shall, that's a command. But if I say it like this, you shall not, there's a promise. Did you see what I did? I didn't change the words. I just changed the inflection of my voice. And you can't tell by reading the Bible because it's written down. You can't tell what his inflection is. But if you read it by the Spirit, it's good news. If you read it by the letter, it's bad news and kills. I'd rather have life than death. So you have to teach people how to read the Bible. Otherwise, they'll read command to mean command when it actually means promise. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not whatever. Whatever it is, it's always stated negatively, but then it could go either way grammatically. So God has deliberately written the Bible so that unbelievers read it and get it mixed up. And they do. They read it and went, wow, to please this guy, you'd have to be good all the time. I'm not good. So I grew up ungood. I wasn't good, and I liked being evil. I did. I loved it. I did it deliberately. I exaggerated anything. I lied. I cheated. I stole. I did that. It's not because of my mafia background. It's just it was natural to me. Yeah. I could easily cheat. Never read a book until I was a junior in college. Never. Ever. Ever. I always cheated on everything. I had lots of ways to do it, and I was really gifted. And that means I wasn't caught. That's what it means. He did things, and he was never caught. So because of that, that's not a good thing to brag about. It's just a truth. It's the truth. I grew up that way, and I grew up with a lot of hoodlums and a lot of bad people. And they were everywhere in my neighborhood. And so when you grow up that way, you pick up bad habits and you get so addicted to them, you don't even think about them. You just do them automatically. Yeah. So, for example, Peggy was outside the other night when this bad guy came up to her. And see, I would be suspicious right away. But she was like friendly because she's a Christian. She's nice. Yeah. She loves everybody. She knows everybody in our neighborhood. Doesn't care anything about anything. She just says, hi, I'm Peggy. You know, she's just really friendly. And so, but that to me is, you know, stupid. I would never do it like that. That guy's out to kill you. That guy's out to do this. And then so I just think that way. I just think that way. So after the guy robbed the car, I'll kill that guy. I mean, that was the first thing that came out of my mouth because that's what I think. I don't think Jesus Christ. You know, I don't think that. I think I'm kill that guy. And I mean it. I'm doing it. And so, but because you feel violated when he just stole, you know, just, you know, wow, that's my vehicle. That's mine. So do you want someone to bite your hand? You know, no. But Bible says turn your other cheek. No, don't do that. Pray for them. Love them. Bless them. So the problem with churches today, they don't forgive their enemies. You know, they don't forgive them. But you have to as a Christian. You have to forgive people that are bad, obnoxious, irritating. You have to forgive real people. And real people are not ideal. They're not. They're not God. But everyone wants to be God, but nobody is. Only God is God. So he's the only thing you have going in this world. He is good, and no one else is good but God. That's Jesus right. added that. Jesus added that. Yeah. So if no one else is good but God, you'll never be good.
That's right.
So people think, I'm going to do something good for that person. You didn't. No. You thought you did. You were mistaken.
Yeah.
So people are out for themselves. They're selfish. Mm-hmm. They're proud. They're arrogant. And you can go through life, but you're going to meet some of those people. Probably none in this church, because you're well taught.
Yeah, amen.
That's good, Walter. He's new, so he doesn't know anything about anybody here. But so people are contradictions to themselves. They have standards, but they don't always live up to those standards, right? So I'm just telling you the truth, and the truth will set you free. You, in fact, the Bible says something like this. This is the middle of the Bible. I'm in the exact mathematical middle. Psalm 118, verse 7, and then 8. 7 says this. Put not your trust in man. Put your trust in the Lord. The next one says, put not your trust in princes. Put your trust in the Lord. Wow. There it is. That kind of settles it all. It says, don't ever trust anybody.
That's right.
Well, I try to be trustful. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. Man in his best state. I mean, you're religious, you're moral, you're clean, you're nice, you're friendly like Peggy. And, you know, everyone loves Peggy. Everyone loves Peggy. I could tell stories about her, but no one would believe them. Peggy is nice. You're not, but Peggy is. You could say amen. So you want the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And so I don't have two agendas, just Jesus. That's the only thing. I'm not good, but Jesus is. I'm not good. If anything that I ever did, I didn't. If anything that someone says, thank you for preaching that or doing that or whatever, I didn't do that. I give God all the glory.
Yeah.
Soli Deo Gloria. To God be the glory. Wow. Why do I do that? It's because I was bad. I can't even imagine being good. I mean, it's impossible for me to imagine not exaggerating if I say something. I'll exaggerate. I don't even have to try. I just will. There are about 100 people there. I mean, I'll just say it. We had about 100. I don't know why I say it. I just say it. Why do you say it? It was only 47 people. Well, I don't know why. I just say it. I don't know. I don't even think about it. How many know that when you have a bad habit, you cannot shake it? You cannot say, I'll do something good by not doing that anymore. That's not good.
That's right.
Because you're the same sinner that just did it, and you're the same sinner that remains sinful after you didn't do it. Because whether you do it or not do it, it's just all appearance. Yeah. Everyone is basically wicked. Now, this is good for young people. You know, if you're over like 13 or 14 or something like that. And we have a few here. But it's good for them to realize, don't go to college thinking it's going to be neat. Because people will steal, they'll lie, they'll cheat, they'll do all kinds of things. And you can't just say, well, those three people are like that. All kinds of people are like that. You don't know. Because people can be sleepers. They can look good on the outside. I do not look evil. I don't. I just don't. I'm almost 80, but I still don't look evil. But I've been as evil and as devilish as you can imagine. But no one ever knew it. Now, you might be thinking sex. You might be thinking drugs. I didn't do any of that. I didn't do opioids. I didn't do anything. But I was devious in that I was totally selfish, wanted everything for myself, didn't care for my parents, didn't care for fathers and mothers. And, oh, I didn't care for anybody. And that's what that means. You're not doing what God wants. Love God with all your heart and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. You're not doing that. And I didn't want to do it. And I loved sinning. I enjoyed it. I never had guilt. I never felt any anger or guilt toward anybody. It's just, yeah, that's the way life is. That's the way life is. Did anyone grow up that way?
Yeah.
You don't want to say, but yes, one or two. But then actually, lots of people grow up that way. So half of the world is lying. The other half is telling the truth, and you don't like them. But when they tell the truth is, no, I'm only out for myself. That's the mafia. The mafia is just like that. The Chicago mafia is worse than the Texas mafia. Or Louisiana, or Illinois. And the guy who killed Kennedy was from the Chicago Mafia. I know him. I know who he is. So you cannot figure out who does what. But when you want something done in Chicago, if they say, I'm going to kill you, they're going to kill you or die trying. They cannot just say it. They have to do it. Do you understand? The Chicago, so you don't want to be part of the Chicago scene. But God says those people, and some of them have become Christians.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And I know them. So when you become a Christian, it means something miraculous had to happen to change you around so that you're completely opposite to where you were. And so everything is rigged on earth to make you open your eyes. And that's why the law was given. The law was only given for one reason, to show you your sin. It wasn't given for any other reason. Just show you your sin. Show you that you're worse than you think you are. You're evil. You are completely, absolutely incapable of doing good. And you are only able to do that which pleases you. You're a people pleaser.
Yeah.
Or you can be a man-hater. Or you can be a sociopath. You can be all kinds of things, but they're all just masks for your sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know that verse?
Yeah.
All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. So since all have sinned, you're equal to everybody. It didn't say some are or, you know, pastors are not. No. Everybody. Everybody sins.
Yeah.
The way you don't sin is totally by faith. If your religion is a religion of faith, you believe that God made a promise, not a command. Why did he make a command? Oh, here's why. Jesus did it. Jesus did the law for you. You didn't do it. You didn't do it. If anything good, that's Jesus. Don't take the glory for yourself. You're not God. You didn't do that. Only God is good, and no one else is good but God. And if no one else is good but God, we're all equal. That's very clear. It's not. That's just what the Bible says. I don't have to prove it. I just state it. That's clear that everybody's out for themselves. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wow, you'd be dead if you did that. I'm not going to love him as myself. I'll love him a little less than myself. I'm not going to love him equally as myself. So that's called lawlessness in the Bible. So now I go by every word that's written in this book. And when you do, you're dead. When you lose your life, you find it. When you lose your life, you actually find it. It's in the neighbor. It's not in God. God doesn't want your love. God, when he loves you without condition, just as you are. And any fixing up, he does it. If you help him, he'll cease. He gave in such a way you cannot repay. Mm-hmm. What he gave to you was him being in you as his temple. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're the dwelling place of the living God. You're an overcomer, blah, 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 blah. All of that is all God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
That's all. So worship is not feeling worship. It's not understanding worship. It's not doing anything. It's just doing what he said. So when you obey God, you don't have any bells ringing or anything to kind of coach you along, because you're not going to find security in this world. You're only going to find the certainty of that word, but not security in this world. Security of this world, you're never going to get until Jesus comes back the second time, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, wipes out all the unbelievers. And only is left you and I. We'll be a remnant. We're not going to be a whole. We'll be a part, a remnant, just a small leftover. How many like being a zero, a leftover?
I do.
One. Peggy. Peggy at the back. She kind of raised her finger. So 1.5. We have 1.5 going. So no one here wants to think of themselves as no good. But remember this, God wrote on your heart, this one's mine. So he will be the one that judges you, say, I remember the day I did that. I remember the moment that I entered in your heart. When you have a new heart, God gave you that new heart. And you can't get it from being in the mafia world. You can't get it in being in politics. You can't get it from being in business. You can't get it in anything in this world, because man cannot give you what only God can give you. You cannot do what you cannot do. So since you cannot be good, without God. Because only God is good, and no one else is good but God. Therefore, you cannot be good unless you have God in your life. That's powerful, Jeff. That's powerful, is to say, God, if I do anything good, I know I didn't do it. I know you did that. Debbie, same. If anything good comes out of you, you know that's not because I was a good horse trader. That was because God. And you can't take credit. Say, I helped out a little bit. No, you didn't help out at all. So if only God is good, and everyone likes to think of themselves as good. That's a big sin right there. That's a sin. That's a capital sin, is to imagine you're good. That's what man at his best state's altogether vanity. In another place it says, and all your righteousness is like a filthy rag. In other words, what you call righteousness, I call a filthy rag. Isn't that neat? That's kind of funny. I think that's humorous, that people imagine they're awesome and great and proud and so on. So, but, you know, just love that person. Just love them. Just love them. Because God does. And he didn't have any conditions. He just said, I love you just the way you are. That's why I'm alive. I believe I'm alive because I go to India, I go to China, I go to Russia, I go every place I want to go, and I'm still alive. I shouldn't. I should be dead long ago. I can't imagine. I give thanks every day for just keeping me just surviving alive. Not being great or good or awesome. So if I blessed any of you, I didn't do it. That was God. So God probably forced you to come here. You know, that's God. He's mean like that. He'll just force you to go and hear the gospel. But you need to hear the gospel because it's buried under non-gospel people. And you'll find out someday that a lot of people that you thought were great ministers, they're not. They're out for themselves. And it's not just the obvious ones. It can be anybody. I'll tell you how. I'll read you the law. This is the law. The law wants you to be sinless. This girl right here that's about to marry Jesus Christ, or maybe that already has, she's got a crown on her head. This one here is where you're aiming. And you get all these six chairs lined up here, sinner, hypocrite, repent, believe, you know, die to yourself, and then be actually filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit, and so on, six, and then seven. But seven is the beginning of your new life forever and ever. Seven wants everyone here. If you have one spot, you don't go to heaven. If you have one wrinkle, you don't go to heaven. If you have one blemish, you don't go to heaven. One iniquity, one, just one. And you did it at 2.5 years old. That's it. It's over. So you want to then pray for everybody else that they make it. Because people don't, often they don't, even get out of their families. There's so much trouble in families these days. They've destroyed the family. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Everyone wants to destroy the families. Amen. So, hey, don't worry about it. God has that in hand. He's already thought of everything you could ever think of, and it's all for your good. It's not for God's good. Not for Jesus' good. It's for your good. When you glorify God, that's you didn't do anything to get that. Actually, Jesus did that. Jesus did that. He kept the whole law for me, for you, for everybody. And all he wants people to sue, all he wants, don't shape up, don't be feel nice and so on. Don't do that. Just be yourself. You have to love people as they are, not as they ought to be. Just love them as they are. Why? Because they're wonderful. I love my wife with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength. How can I say that? It's because it's in the Bible. I don't need to think about that or, you know, want bells and, you know, I don't want anything. I just do. I just do. Wow. You don't have to prove it to anybody. You couldn't anyway. Only God, the Holy Spirit, can make that thing come alive, can empower you to keep going, to never quit. So when the world, let's say the world ended tomorrow, what do you do? When these things come to pass, it explains it in the Bible, when these things come to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Glory.
That's the way you face the end. Not like, oh my God, the bad guys are winning. Trump lost and the other idiot won. No. Just leave the world alone. Don't fix it. Don't be judging it. Leave it. God himself already planned everything out. It's all in the Bible. Everything you want to know about God is right there. He's good. He's gracious. He's kind. He's gentle. He's everything you can imagine. But it's all for you. It's not for himself. Jesus died. He didn't go to heaven because he was good. Even Jesus would never say he was good. Somebody once said, "You're good. Good teacher." He said, "Why do you call me good? Because I didn't do anything. The Father did that. The Father who dwells in me doeth the work."
Amen.
I didn't do the work. You thought I did the work? I raised the dead and I did it. The Father did that. So the Father in Christ did that. So Christ didn't did that. What he did, he didn't did. And what you do, you don't do. That's the Father who dwelleth in you. Because he has made you his dwelling place of the living God. You're his dwelling place. This is where he dwells. He want to dwell on a mountain. He doesn't want to dwell in a river. He doesn't want to dwell anywhere. He wants to dwell in your heart. In your heart. Now your heart is not here, the pump. This is not your heart. Your heart is down here in the belly. In the bosom of the belly. That's where actually Jesus lives. In yours. That's called the bowels of mercy. That's where you're merciful, right there. And so you become blind after a while. You don't see people's sins. You see them, but you just pray for them.
Yeah.
You just bless them. You love them. So no one here who's married cannot imagine that it's blessed and wonderful and so on unless you give it to God. When you give it to God, it's perfect. Every time I see people praying together, I know it's going to work because it comes by hearing. It just comes by hearing, not by understanding, not by feeling it, not by understanding that, not by doing something. It just comes by faith alone that God is good and I am not. And I'll never be. You know, for all eternity, no one here will ever be good. You think, well, in heaven, we'll all be good. Yes, you will be, only if you're in relationship to the vine. Only if you're married to Jesus. Only if Jesus first loved you. He loved while you were yet a sinner. Did you know that? Jesus loved everybody while you were yet a sinner. Because Adam and Eve goofed it up for everybody. So now everybody is a sinner. And so he can only then say, "I love sinners."
Thank you.
I wouldn't say that if I were Jesus. He's crazy. That's crazy. I wouldn't love a person like me. If I met a person like me, I'd hate him. It'd be a rival. I'd have to do them in. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're all like me. It's pathetic, but you're all like me. Exactly like me. Sad. But I'm totally open about it. I have never hidden myself from God, even when I didn't believe in him. I never hid myself like, he can't see this. I knew if there is a God, I'll be destroyed. Because I didn't even start out. I could tell you from the moment I came out of the womb, I did not do anything for my mom or anything. Mom, I'm here. I'm here to help. I didn't have any decency in me. First time I ever knew that I had any decency in me was one time I was in our son's room, and God said to me, "You're a Christian now." "Yes." And he said, "So I want you to go and tell your wife you were wrong and she was right." "I'm not going to do that, God. I'm not going to do that. I'm a man. I can't do that. She'd use that on me for the rest of the life. You know, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do it. I'm a man." I've never said I was sorry to anybody at any time.
Yeah.
So now that you're a Christian, I'm describing you. You are going to go and say, "You were right. I was wrong. Please forgive me." I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You're a Christian. Don't forget that. You said you were going to do anything I said. I said it. Do it. Okay, I'll do it. And so on the way down there, I thought, make a joke out of it. Make a joke out of it. Because that's a good way of escape. You know, use irony or, you know, some skill you have. And then just get away. But don't really look at her to the eyes. I'm not going to do that. But I knew this would kill me. And I said, "God, that's going to kill me." "Good, good, good. Keep going." So I went around the corner. Let's say this is the corner. She's in the chair right here. We have a chair in the corner here, right at the end of the hall. And I said, Peg, and I wanted to laugh right there, but I couldn't. Look her straight in the eye. Peg, you were right. I was wrong. Please forgive me. And as I walked down the hall, I realized the first time in my life I did a decent thing. I don't know why. It just came to me. That's the first decent thing. Totally out of faith. Totally no bells and whistles or nothing went off. I just knew that was God and I did it. And I knew, you know, I could do this for the rest of my life. It wasn't that bad. It was actually good. But it scared me because I knew I wouldn't be Jim anymore. There would be no more Jim. I'll be obliterated. So there's no more space for me or whatever. I'll never be able to boss or anything. I'm finished. And I loved it. I loved it. It's been, this is my death is actually her life.
That's right.
When I'm dead, I'm no longer me. I'm now her servant. Then I realize, wow, I got to do this for the rest of my life. It's going to kill me. But I realize when you lose your life, you find it.
That's right.
It's in her. She is the center of your life. Not the church, nothing else, her. As a man loves, as Christ loved the church, so every man love his wife, just like that. Wow. That's hard. If any of you get a hold of this, it's a miracle. But if you can't get a hold of it, that humility is what you're all about. Staying a zero, letting God be everything. Do you have that? So that's powerful. Powerful. Now, let's look at this verse. This is just part of chapter 8. All the commandments which I command you this day shall be you be able to observe to do it, so that you may live, and that word is eternal life, and multiply and go in and possess the land, because God wanted to give them the whole land of Canaan, which the Lord swore to your fathers, and you shall remember all the way. Jesus said, I am the way, which the Lord thy God led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and prove you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Now, here, when you do what I just said, do exactly what God said, you are actually keeping the command.
Hallelujah.
By reading it as a promise. That God actually did it, you didn't do it. So whatever you did, you didn't do. Even now, as a Christian, if you do something wrong, he says you're a saint, even though you just sinned. I'll say that again, because I don't know if you caught that. If, as a Christian, you suddenly say, I'm going to kill that guy, that's a sin. But immediately, he saw the sin, but he didn't count it. He just said, that's my son right there, Jim. But it's Jesus in Jim. And so I count his life as pure. That's the way you get rid of a sin. It's a description of who you are in Christ. It's not a description of you. It's a description of who you are, a new creation in Christ. Now you're not Jim. You're Jesus in Jim or Jim in Jesus. Doesn't matter. You're related now, and that forever and ever and ever. So you'd have to listen to this tape over and over again to grasp that. But, and he humbled you and suffered you to hunger. He allowed this. And fed thee with manna, which you knew not. You didn't even know what manna is. And actually it's translated in the Bible like, what is this? This is the food I'm giving you. Ugh. Doesn't even taste like anything. Ugh. It'll keep you alive. Yeah. I don't like it. And so then people, you can read it in the Old Testament. So the manna is something God provides for his people every day to survive. It's not enough luxury. There's no luxury in it. There's no sweetness to it or whatever. There's nothing. But it's enough to keep you alive because that's from heaven. That manna isn't from earth. It didn't come from anything on earth. He fed them daily. And if you collected some and then hoarded some others, it would rot overnight. You just can eat whatever God provides you and no more. You see how God's humbling you? He allows you to be thirsty. He allows you to want some drink to survive. As a human being, you have to have that to survive every day, even if you fast. He actually supplies that to take care of you. But if you want more than that, you're not going to get it, because God's allowing it to humble you to realize you're a nothing. Stay a nothing. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of everything. I feed the birds of the air. I feel everything on earth. I sustain it all for you. Everything on earth is yours, but you can't have it until I say that's yours. And if I don't say it, don't take it. So that man that stole the car, he's cursed because it didn't belong to him. But I don't curse. I can't. So I didn't do that. I forgave him. I can even imagine him walking up to the house and saying, here's your car. I used it, abused it, and so on. And here's $100 to pay for the gas or something. I can imagine that because I'm weird. I don't mind that I'm weird, because I actually believe, prayers work.
Yeah.
If you don't, you don't. But if you do, you do. So this is amazing. I love this. I wish we had 2-3 hours. And he said that neither did, wouldn't that be exciting? Did the fathers know that he might make thee to know that a man does not live by bread alone? You do live by bread, but not alone. But by every word, this is the thing that counts. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man have eternal life. You can't get it. It's not just bios. It's not biological life. This is spiritual life. So you're going to live forever and ever and ever. Now, what time is it? Is it time for me to quit?
12:30.
12:30? Can I have another 10 minutes? Keep going. This is so powerful. Everything that you read, if you read any word in the Old Testament, just one word, there's life in it. Everything in this Bible, you got to read between the lines. You don't just read the lines, the letter. You read the spirit of the law. Today, the problem with law in this country, in Texas, right here, nobody reads it by the spirit of the law, by the basic principles that our founders gave us. So to take away your liberty, they're now using laws only by the letter that takes away all your freedom and liberty and so on. Don't gripe about that. Don't complain about that. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because this makes me realize I need to grow closer to you. If you just do these two things, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your love your neighbor as yourself, boom, God would change America just like that.
Yeah.
He'll heal your land just like that.
Yeah.
If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll do three things. I will do those three things. One, I'll hear from heaven and forgive your sin. Not the world's sin, not the bad guy's sin, your sin, and heal your land. That's all. It's just if the Christians were Christian.
Yeah.
Hot. Zestos in the Greek. The Greek word meaning you have such zeal to do what God wants you to do, but that's the Holy Spirit. Not even you. It's not even you. It's actually the Holy Spirit of God. And you have that Holy Spirit of God within you.
Amen.
You have it right now. Say amen.
Amen.
If you have that, then there's nothing to be afraid of. You don't have to worry about anything, because God takes care of everything. Even if you should die, you'll just resurrect.
Amen.
Just like Jesus. He rose from the dead, and just when it looked the bleakest, just when it looked like there was no hope, then he said, no, we haven't even started. What? That means it's over. They killed you. But he just rose up and said, hi, I'm here. Oh, is this Sunday night or what? By the way, there's no teaching tonight, Sunday night, because we have family here, all that kind of stuff. Then it goes on, and it says this. The raiment your garments, wax not old upon you. Neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. In other words, you have the same clothing and you have the same shoes and they never were a problem. Isn't that amazing? God did that. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord chastens you. And I believe that's what happened last Sunday. He knew we would leave here because Peggy told him I'm a minister. So he think, hey, on Sunday they won't be home. And I can smash the windows in, I can do all that, and no one will hear it. And so he did. And so he was waiting. We have video of all this, by the way. Our neighbor has a video thing, and she has video. Big, you know, huge screen. You can see the whole thing. Wow. Anyway, the guy is sitting on the curb opposite her house, and she can see him out of this eye, but it's focused on our house because she's trying to protect her front lawn. So I'm part of that. And so she can see everything, and this guy is just sitting there very patiently, 15 minutes or whatever. He's just doing, wiggling around and so on, just doing nothing, waiting for us to come home from night church. And I don't even know how he knew there was night church. How did he know? He was clever, and he was very patient. Then he went out and walked somewhere and came back, you know, 5 minutes later, waited there another 20 minutes until it was almost 7:30, and I don't know how he figured that out. But he, at 7:35, I drove in the driveway. He was sitting right there, waiting patiently. And then all of a sudden, he counted to 10 or something like that and just walked straight in because he already had robbed in the house my FOB and, you know, your beeper and all that kind of stuff. He already had gotten that by breaking in the house and so on and so forth and stealing watches and all that kind of stuff. But he then just walked right in, beeped the thing, drove out, and in 6 minutes he was gone and then went east. And we have it all on video. I mean, the police have already seen it all. So they know everything about this guy except what he looks like because he had a hood on. He had a hood on, but he had white shoes on also. Same guy that was there the night before. So it's kind of fun. Because now I know 8 officers, detectives, in the East Side Police Department. I know them all. So they've become friends. Wow. Because they have to protect me. But God said, don't let them protect you. You get the evidence yourself. Because they have their own regions, and we're for the burglary, we're for the man, and we're all that kind of stuff, worth a car, and so on and so forth. So don't worry about all that. Just do it yourself.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun. Yeah. So every day I'm meeting new officers, new, you know, helpers, and so on and so forth. And we know from this church, we already have someone from this church. And then we have another in Dallas. We have him also serving the TCU area. And so these people care for us because we were raised here.
Yeah.
And so how many know that God is always watching out for you even though you're not paying attention?
Yeah. Glory.
Glory to God in the highest, yes. And on earth peace, goodwill toward men. He wants everything to work out perfectly. And it will.
Yeah.
Be exactly as he says.
Yeah.
So the whole idea that God is asleep, he doesn't sleep. Did you know that? God never slumbers or sleeps. He's always thinking of me. Pull your name in there. He's always thinking of you. He wants you to be blessed forever and ever and ever and ever, world without end. World upon world upon world upon world. It'll never end. You'll be a priest-king just like Jesus is. You'll be able to sit on the throne just like Jesus does. You're going to sit right next to Jesus as he's right next to the Father. So God is doing everything to bless you. If you're patient, you'll wait for it and not gripe and grumble and complain because things don't look right. They'll never look right until Jesus comes back again. So he's just chastening us. But it's chastening with hope. It's not chastening with, oh, probably never happened. You don't need to see it. It'll come anyway. Now, the next verse, and I'll just read a couple of verses. I don't need to read more. Verse 9. It says, Hear, O Israel, thou art about to pass over Jordan this day. This is the day they were going to pass over the river, Jordan, to go in and possess the nations greater and mightier than them yourself. You are not anything close to these nations. Cities great and fenced up to heaven, 200 feet high, big cities. A people great and tall, the children of the Anakim, who were giants, some were 10, 15 feet tall, whom you knowest not. You don't know these people, you've only heard of them. Of whom you have heard say, who can stand against the children of Anak? So this building is not even 15 feet high. This building right here, this would be way up there, it would be his head. That's a tall guy. Don't worry about him. I'll make sure they're wiped out before you go in. Amen. Understand, therefore, this is a promise. Understand, therefore, this day that the Lord your God is he which goeth over before you. As a consuming fire, he shall destroy them. Socialists, communists, you know, Al-Qaeda, whatever people are and do, it doesn't make any difference. And he shall bring them down before your face, so he shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord have spoken to you. So do not say in your heart, after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from you, saying, for my righteousness' sake he has brought me in to possess this land. Uh-uh, not. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before you. Don't brag that he did this because I was a nice person. You weren't. Not for thy righteousness, verse 5. Not for thy righteousness of thine heart dost thou go to possess the land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out before you, and that he may perform the word which the Lord spake to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now I'm done. What this is saying is whatever God hath done for you, you didn't do it. You had no role in it. You didn't do anything, Walter. You're just Walter. Stay Walter. Don't ever improve yourself or think God will like this. This I'm changing, right? This. Don't do it. Just let him clean you up. And when he does, it's perfect. If you did it, it'd be imperfect. And you'd have a spot, wrinkle, blemish, stain, iniquity, something wrong. Uncleanness. But God is for you. He can never be against you. Now, you can't change God. If this is the way he is, and you have to read it in the Bible to know it. If you have to read it every day, if you read it every day, and I have to because I'm a pastor. I have to. But I love it. I love it. And I don't want to even let it go and teach. I want to just keep reading it. It's so powerful. I don't know if you know what a crazy pastor I am, but that's the kind of pastor I am. I was once serving the devil. Now I don't serve him anymore. I don't even believe in him. Now I believe in God only. Amen. And he can blow him away in a second. He's just waiting for you. He's patiently waiting for you to just say, God is good. Yes. That's all. Yes. Just thank you, God. Thank you for being kind and loving and gracious and so on and so forth. Whatever you say, I believe it. I don't even have to look at the fine print. I just believe it. And then just be, you know, when you begin to do it, he'll multiply it. All of a sudden there were 5,000 men to be fed, plus the women and children. He just did it, and then it multiplied. And so much so they had 12 baskets left over. That's a miracle, and everybody recognizes it. You know, it's like, wow, how did that happen? How can there be anything left over? Because when God does something, he overdoes it to show that he's God. Amen. So you're about to inherit everything God ever intended for you. Amen. So how many here have received Jesus Christ personally as your Savior? Amen. Praise God. Probably everybody. That's powerful. If not, we have men that you can just come forward and get prayed for if you have, you know, disease, problems, deliverance, whatever. They can do anything, cast out devils, anything. It's not because we're competing with any other church. I'm not. I just believe Jesus is just ordinarily great. Amen. It's just like that's who he is. And so everything works out for my good. So I don't care how the thing works out. I'm not even interested in it. I just know I'll be blessed. That's it. I don't want anything from anybody. I'll never take anything from anybody. People have offered me churches and so I don't want them. I like our little church. I'm sticking with this. It's hell enough just this group. That's a lie. What I'm trying to say is this. No, we have problems right here. Let's take care of these problems. When we finish with these, we can go on and do something else. So as God is good here, he's good in Africa. If he's good in Africa, he's good in India. If he's good in India, he's good in China. So wherever I've gone in the world, I always see a ripe field. I don't see any problems. I only see the Lord. That's it. So we've blessed so many churches throughout the world, millions and 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 millions. Why? Because we just say the word. You just live the word. And it works. So, who wants to make a testimony? Just invent something. Yes, Debbie.
I love that the pressure is no longer on me. It's on Jesus Christ. Him
yes.
Crucified and then rose.
Powerful. Amen. Powerful. And that's accurate. Someone else.
We were just talking about forgiveness yesterday.
Wow. That only God can do. I love it. And I'm not surprised. I love that because God just does. You didn't plan it. You don't control him. You don't have any control over him. But he just does things that are miraculous. And you can't explain it in any other way.
But I wasn't always
there. Yeah, right. No, that's honest. But honesty doesn't set you free. But truth sets you free.
Hallelujah.
But being honest is just, you know. Yeah, it wasn't always like that. That's true. That's a good testimony because you've been tested and you passed the test. Now, we're, you know, I can't explain how I got to where I am. I know the story, but I can't explain it. It's just God. And God overwhelmed me, and I knew from then on I'll be dead. I knew from then on there'll never be Jim again. I knew it, just like that. You're just like that. You're just like that. And God wants to finish his work before he comes. He will not finish unless he gives every promise. If he doesn't keep every promise, then he's not God.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
So Christianity is not you being good. It's God keeping his promise toward you. You're the promisee. He's the promiser. So he promised. He has to keep his promise. Never think about yourself keeping yours. You're not a promise keeper. He is. Whatever he has promised, he will surely do right on time. Exactly. So don't think he's slow. He's right on. Who else has a testimony? Who else? Testimony. David.
Just looking at what we were reading, I think I read this about a year or something ago. But like when he says that whenever they're going into the land, the giants that you know these giants. And I was thinking, how do you know them? You know them by your senses. Big, you're probably thinking about them all the time.
Right.
And just thinking about those things in our lives that we're afraid of. We're very aware of those things. That's natural. But then it also says, understand, therefore, and that's faith. That's the promise. And that's not obvious.
Yeah.
Unless you're seeing that different pair of eyes.
Right.
So just, I don't know, that kind of brought it to life for me. Just to love it. Trust on what you see and
love it.
What you're thinking about always.
Yep. Too powerful. Okay, I'll end with this verse. There is therefore now no condemnation. But the Greek doesn't say it that way. The Greek starts out with no condemnation. The emphasis is not on there is therefore now. That's true. But what it's saying, not to make it make sense, no. That's what God wanted to emphasize right there. Because we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So since that's the case, I'm not under a law. I'm not under any condemnation. You can't be condemned once you believe that Jesus is God and you are not. You can't. You're just relying on God. That's all he's ever wanted. It doesn't want you to be good. Don't prove you're good. Just be what you are and let all the fixing be done by God. When you're sleeping, when you're, you know, awake, you know, he's doing things and you don't have any idea. but he daily loads us with blessings every day. And you don't even see them. You don't even know about them. But they're happening all the time. So the best has been saved to the last. The best wine hasn't. You'll do it in heaven. You'll be in the mid heavens. You won't even be on earth. As soon we will depart from earth and be in the mid heavens, and that's where the judgment will take place. Initial judgment. Okay, that's initial. The devil's in the lake of fire. So you'll never see him anymore. Never. But the devil himself will be in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Don't take that literally, because it's not literal. Because he said in the Bible, I'll shorten the days, because otherwise you'd be tempted.
Yeah.
I'm going to shorten them. So they could be short, and I don't know when short is. Nobody knows what he means by short. But whatever it means is you don't know the day or the hour, but you know the season. We're definitely in the season when he's about to come back and end all this stuff that's going on. But why worry about it? Why worry about it? Just rejoice. Fret not because of evildoers. Don't even think about it. You can't deal with them anyway.
Yeah.
You're not going to throw out the Girgashites and the Amalekites and the Anakim and all that. Leave them alone. God will take care of it. Do you believe that God is greater than you?
Yeah.
He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. So if you don't believe it, you don't believe it. You can't make yourself believe what you don't believe. But if you believe it, then you see it. And you see it with these eyes. You see it spiritually. God will give you new eyes to see things in heaven. He can talk to you. He can listen to you. He can speak back to you. You can answer him back. That's what God wants for every one of us. Some people say, I'd never heard God. But I do. I don't know why, and I don't really care. But I do. And I say things that it took me 1,000,000 years to discover what you just showed me. That's impossible. And you can feel God remaking you, building you, so that you're a mighty man of God, a mighty woman of God. Anyone? Okay. Who wants to close in prayer? Yes. Go ahead, Roger. Close in prayer. Roger's here and he's smiling, so I can close in prayer.
Well, Father, we're so grateful that you love us so much.
Amen.
And we thank you, God, that you've intervened and intercepted each one of us by your own will. You came and intercepted us and caused us to know you. And thank you for Pastor Jim and for the word that he's brought today.
Yes.
And Lord, we just pray that the words that he speaks into our heart would fall on good soil.
Yeah.
And that we would retain it. And God, we just thank you for the words that Jesus said, that when the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? And he said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then he said these words, give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread, the same verses that Pastor Jim was talking about in Deuteronomy, that we would be supplied by you daily, that it's not by our strength, but by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That you feed us and give us what we need daily.
Amen.
And so we thank you for that, and just ask that you would bless each person here and go with us through the week and cause us to walk close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. God is good. Pray that this guy is not robbing our house right now, because he knows we're not there.